The material miseries of the living being are superfluous to him. Means they are not necessary. And they can be directly mitigated by the linking process of bhakti yoga. But the mass of people do not know this. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation with the absolute truth. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 2. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear what the text 1 was. Any objections? Okay. Text 1, I will say the Sanskrit. Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadev in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the..." Ganges River. "Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe, she is known as..." Who was here yesterday? Nobody?
Their minds weren't here.
Okay, I'll repeat the sentence. "Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe, she is known as..."
Vishnupadi.
Yes. "Later, she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupad, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet." Okay, I'm going to read the Sanskrit now. It's Sanskrit prose. It's difficult to repeat and remember. So what do you usually do here in Radha Desh, seat of learning? Do you all try and repeat this? Huh?
It's not even written up.
You must be all shootidars. Just remember, by once hearing, you can remember the whole sloka. Okay. In Kampala, we were, this is African country, we were writing the whole thing up. And everyone was having a stab at it. It was pretty horrible to listen to, still. Okay. Yatraha vava vira vrata otanapadi parama bhagavati smatkula devata charanaravindo dakam itiyam anusuvanaham utskriyamanam Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena Dridam Klidayamananta Hridaya Utkancha Vivasamilita Lochana Yugala Kudmala Vigalati Malabaspa Kalaya Bivaya Kalaya Bivajamana Roma Pulaka Kulako Dunapi Paramadarena Sirasa Bivati. Okay. Yatrahavava Indruvaloka Viravrataha firmly determined Uttanapadihi, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanapada Paramabhagavataha, the most exalted devotee Asmat Our Kula Devata of the family deity, Charana Aravinda, of the lotus feet, Udakam, in the waters, Iti, thus, Yam, which, Anasavanam, constantly, Utskrishyamana, being increased, Bhagavat Bhakti Yogena, by devotional service unto the Lord, Dridam, greatly, Klidyamana Anta Hridayaha, being softened within the core of his heart, Sisi Varagopishwara Ki, Varagopinatha Ki, Udkancha, by great anxiety, Vivasa, spontaneously, Amilita, slightly open, Lochana, of eyes, Yugala, pear, Kudmala, from the flower-like, Vigalita, emanating, Amala, uncontaminated, Baspa Kalaya, with tears, Abhivyajamana, being manifested, Roma Pulaka Kalakaha, whose symptoms of ecstasy on the body, Aduna Api, even now, Parama Adarena, with great reverence, Shirasa, by the head, Bibharti, he bears. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanapada, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet to this very day, accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Tears flow from his half-open eyes and eruptions appear on his entire body. Purport. When a person is firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality, do you want to repeat again? Should you repeat again the translation? Okay. When a person is firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is described as Vira Vrata, fully determined. Such a devotee increases his ecstasy in devotional service more and more. Thus, as soon as he remembers Lord Vishnu, his eyes fill with tears. This is a symptom of Mahabhagavata. Dhruva Maharaj maintained himself in that devotional ecstasy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us a practical example of transcendental ecstasy when he lived at Jagannath Puri.
His pastimes there are fully narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Yanjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasme Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Savitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Makam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shri Gurundina Tarinam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Guravani Prashayani Nirvisesha Sanyavadi Pascha Chandi Satayani. So here we are hearing about Dhruva Maharaj and Dhruva Loka when he receives his water from the causal ocean on his head, then he's always in ecstatic mood. And tears come to his eyes. He's described as Vira Vrata, fully determined. Such a devotee increases his ecstasy in devotional service more and more. Thus, as soon as he remembers Lord Vishnu, his eyes fall with tears. This is a symptom of a Mahabhagavata. Dhruva Maharaj maintained himself in that devotional ecstasy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us a practical example of transcendental ecstasy when he lived at Jagannath Puri. His pastimes are fully narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we only know very closely one Mahabhagavata, and that's Srila Prabhupada. I personally, we can all recognize. Of course, there must be others in our society. But we can all agree Srila Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavata. He didn't very often reveal such ecstatic symptoms that Dhruva Maharaj is revealing. It wasn't a common affair. There's an instance in Gorakhpur when Prabhupada first sang Jai Radha Madhava. It's in the Lilamrita. Gorakhpur is a city in North India, just south of Nepal. And the devotees were camped there. And some deities were there that were now in Radha Madhava, the small deities which on the Radha Madhava altar in Mayapur. They were there in Gorakhpur. Yamuna and Malati and the early devotees were there. Gurudas, Shamasundar, they were all there. And Prabhupada was giving classes. And he started to sing Jai Radha Madhava for the first time. And then he went into a moment of trance or forgetfulness of his external surroundings. And everyone was very quiet. And then he realized that everyone was just in suspended animation. He said, chant Hare Krishna. So there's a few times Prabhupada used to do that. But because Prabhupada was coming to the what's called the Madhyam Adhikari, the middle level devotion of service, then he didn't exhibit such things very often or very rarely. So there are three levels: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, or this Mahabhagavata level. So we're in training stage. We're training to be Mahabhagavatas one day. But it's important that we know our own position, that in the beginning a neophyte devotee is called Prakriti Bhakta. We're trying to get out of this material world. Kanista Adhikari. Kanista sounds like a canister, a can of beans or something. So we're in a canister of this material world. And because we identify with this body. Kanista Adhikari, he identifies, I am Hindu, I am Indian, I am African, I am Belgian, I am French, I am male, I am female. This is our general consciousness. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma katahamiti manide. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, we think that we're the doer of activities. This is very common for each of us. Most of us are on this level. Many devotees, at least we've been trained from childhood to be on this level by modern education. Modern education trains us to be good citizens, to be good doctors, to be good this or that. And naturally we tend to forget our identity as spirit soul. In fact, this education has not been given anywhere. Where is this education being given? It's such a simple thing. But nobody's being told this secret, except for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has established an institution for teaching the most secret, most obvious secret of all. It's so obvious that nobody wants to hear it. I was in an airport Heathrow Airport, and this man said, "What is that on your hat? Can you tell me about your hat?" Because wherever I go, people ask about my hat. And I asked to take photographs. And I showed him the hat. I said, I put the light on. So I said, "This is a spirit soul. The spirit soul is changing his body, just like we change our clothes from childhood to youth to old age. And then at the time of death, the change continues." Then I showed him the picture of changing bodies in the next life. And he said, "Oh." So I said, I'm not sure I believe that. I said, it's not a question of belief. You've already done it. Haven't you done this yourself? He said, yes, but I don't believe in God. But he started to think, and then I had to go through this, collect my stuff through the security thing. It was just a little, one of many exchanges that to make people aware of the simple fact of life. It's not so easy because we're so conditioned. And even in devotional service, we tend to be conditioned. And so Prabhupada, he's descended from this Uttama Adhikari platform to be a teacher. That's called the Madhyama Adhikari platform. He has to distinguish who the Madhyamalikari, the middle stage devotee.
You know the verse? There's
Acharyam Evaharaye. That's the Prakriti Bhakta. Different devotees. But anyway, you tell us the verse, Prabhu. Madhyamalikari, what does he see? The Madhyamalikari sees the Supreme Lord. He sees the innocent. He sees the demons who he avoids, and he associates with the devotees. So Prabhupada had to come on that level. And he actually had to first of all relate with the innocent people. So the mass of people, we can say, are innocent. They're misguided in modern society by this, what we can say, Rajagun culture, Rajagun, Tamagun culture. Now, Sattvagun culture is very rare. And we've been brought up in this Rajagun, Tamagun culture. We think in terms of private property, paper money, We're not used to sharing things. Sattvagun means we share things. There's a communal identity. Even now in somewhere like Bangladesh, a villager identifies himself with a village. And some of us now are beginning to realize where I belong to Radhadesh, community. And whatever I do is in relationship with other people. I'm not separate from this community. Or I'm not separate from ISKCON. Whatever I do, I have to think I'm in relation with ISKCON and I'm part of Prabhupada's movement. So that we share things collectively. We don't have private property in that sense. We accept everything belongs to Krishna. This is Sattvagun mentality. We see the oneness. We see all living beings are parts and parcels of Krishna. I'm also part and parcel of Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. There's knowledge. Knowledge. Pandita Samadarshana, we see the oneness of all living beings. But the modern civilization we're living in is completely in Rajagun. It's advanced in Rajagun. Private property is the main thing. If you've got more private property, you're considered a more important person. And how to enjoy it, the more you can enjoy, the more successful you are. Like this, these are the criteria for modern advancement. So when Prabhupada came to America, he had to reintroduce a completely new culture. He had to completely make a revolution in the misguided lives of this modern civilization. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam's for. To introduce Sattvagun culture so that people could come up to the level of ecstatic love of God. Prabhupada could see we are miles away, millions of miles away from love of God. So he was praying, please make my words suitable so that they can hear this message and understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because right now they're under the mode of ignorance and passion. A hopeless case. Hopeless cases. How are they going to understand? He got off at Boston. He went around with Captain Pandeya and he saw all the shops and things you see in a port where all the sailors come. You can just imagine what he saw. Bars and brothels and this and that. All the things that sailors want to enjoy. Prabhupada was thinking, how are they going to understand? So you know the story, but it's always good to remember because we also preachers and Prabhupada's our acharya preacher. So first he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, and he was a curiosity there, Prabhupada. And they were middle class people. They used to work in the Jeep factory, and Sally Agarwal and her husband, he used to smoke, and Sally used to smoke, keep meat in the fridge. And Prabhupada was thinking, I'm not getting very far with these people. So he went to Mishra's yoga studio. Also, he saw there was, it was a fashionable set. they were doing yoga for health and for, you know, and so on. It was a fashionable scene. But then he got the clue to go to the young people because they were revolutionary spirit in those days. It was very revolutionary. We wanted to give up this bogus, false identity. I am American, I am British. What am I really? These are the questions that many young people were asking, especially as they were being forced to go and fight for America in Vietnam. They were thinking, my goodness, what should I do? Why should I go and fight these people? I don't even know them. I'm just, you know. So they were, you know the story. So Prabhupada, first of all, had to make friends with the innocent people, who were the hippies, to make friends with them. Without being some friendship, we can't preach. People have to listen. If you have a friend, you like to listen to them. So Prabhupada was he descended right to our platform to reach us, the outreach program, Prabhupada's outreach program. Of course, he sat in the square, Tompkins Square Park, and he played a Moroccan drum, and all the hippies come round and also chanting, dancing. Most people stoned out their brains. And Prabhupada was the only sober person in the park. So in this way, he gave his association to uplift us. He came down from the Uttamadarika platform, down to the Madhyamarika platform. He saw the innocent people, people who are looking for the truth. They didn't know what the truth was. They admitted it. We're bewildered. We're confused. We'll take these drugs just because we want to know what is the truth. We want to find out what we are. You know, this is an innocent attitude, actually. I don't know who I am. Who am I? I think most of us ask this question. I used to ask this question so much. Oh, what is the point? Mommy, what's the point? What's the point of it all? Mommy, where do I come from? Where do I come from, Mommy? So all these questions. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Living in the city of nine gates, wondering what to do. Two eyes, two ears, and two nostrils. One mouth, one anus, and one genital. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Looking around for something, not sure what that something is. My folks tell me I belong here, but I don't know who to believe. Life is like a prison, getting older every day. What did I do to deserve this? Gotta make my getaway. Living in the city of nine gates, wondering what to do. Two eyes, two ears, and two nostrils. One mouth, one anus, and one genital. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Shall I sing the whole song? My girlfriends were all disappointed. My mind was on something else. I was looking for the secret, but nobody was there to tell. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? My life is a story of failure, but still I'm not a fool. I'm still asking the questions they couldn't answer at school. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Living in the city of nine gates, wondering what to do. Two eyes, two ears, and two nostrils, one mouth, one anus, and one genital. Yeah, so Prabhupada, he came to people who were on this platform of confusion and bewilderment. And then he introduced Krishna consciousness. So this is our good fortune to have been objects of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Uttama Adhikari. He come down to preach, to give us Krishna consciousness. So now Prabhupada expects us to be like him. He wants us to find those people who are ready to hear, or to find ways so that they can hear. And this is your mission here in Radhadesh also. It's very wonderful. People are coming here, tourists are coming here, they're being introduced, they're hearing the holy names, they're taking prasadam, and seeing the deities. And they may be Prakriti Bhaktas. They may have never seen the deity before. I remember one time I introduced my brother in the temple in Soho Street in London. He was a big, big scientist in America. He was a senior scientist of geophysics in Canada, which is a very high position. Anyway, because his brother was a Hare Krishna, he came to see me. So we went up the stairs to the temple in Soho Street. Because in Soho Street temple, if you've not been, they have Radha Krishna on the right, and they have Jagannath on the left. And then they have Gaunitai, little Gaunitai in the middle. Just two altars. And so Robin, my brother, he came in, and of course he didn't bow down. There's nothing about bowing down. Standing there, you know, like this was a Tate gallery or something. It was a art gallery. He looked at Radha and Krishna and said, and he looked at Jagannath and said, "I don't like those, but I like these." And he liked Jagannath. So this was "I like these. I like the black one." So this was his first experience of deity worship. Because it wasn't his first. I used to take my Jagannath deities to my home, my parents' home over Christmas or Boxing Day or something. And so the one time, it was very funny actually, because my father was a real, you know, hardened atheist. And he said, "Oh, this God is baloney." Baloney, he used to say. "If there's God, why all this misery in this world? If there's God, how can you, you know, it doesn't make sense," like this. But, you know, I used to make a thing about offering up, they used to have special pots for me to, you know, that haven't had meat in them, because they were all meat eaters. So I had special pots, and I was saying they must do the offering. And my father was getting really hungry, you know. Because when you're an old man, you start feeling hunger at certain times. He was feeling hungry. And I was, and because he knew that I was have to do the offering, so he got the offering plate ready for me. He put all the sabjis and everything in it, you know. And he says, "I've got it ready for you." So it was amazing, you know. "Oh, thank you, Father." And I did the offering, you know. And then I was really pushing it, because I took all the maha and I made like a maha plate. So they were all sitting there with their knives and forks, ready to eat this vegetarian meal. And I was giving, you know, a little maha on each plate. And he said, "This is my heart, Father." And he was steaming, you know. And then he exploded. He said, "What is this? What is this? I'm 95. I've been eating meat all my life." He exploded like this. It was very embarrassing at the Christmas lunch, you know. So it was. So I said, I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to start a fight, you know, like a verbal fight. So I said, "Father, I'm going to live longer than you." And then, so it was. But just see, because he got the Krishna's plate together, and they were all engaged somehow or other, and in the offering, and they took prasadam. So we may aspire to be like Dhruva Maharaj and have tears in our eyes, and always remembering Krishna. But we should remember that the way to get that is to give Krishna consciousness to others. Because that's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. If we want to attain that high state of love of God, we can't do it artificially. We can't pretend that we're somewhere where we're not. That's of no value. It's just like Prabhupada gives the example, just like a child. You know, if a young child, 4 or 5 or seven or eight, you can't teach them about sex life. What does it mean to them? It doesn't mean anything. Because the hormones and everything's not buzzing around in their body. It's beyond their conception, hardly. I mean, you know, sometimes a little boy and girl, they sit together. And they're just sitting under the bush or something. I remember I did this one time. There was a girl, she was called Christine Hurley. She was about 3, and I was 2. And there was, she was showing her genitals, I was showing mine. But it was innocent, completely innocent. So that there was nothing actually wrong in it. It was just, you know, we were interested in our bodies. It wasn't anything to do with sex life. So at our level, we can't actually experience some of these symptoms that like Dhruva Maharaj is experiencing. But we know the way to reach it. We know the formula. There's a lovely story. We know the formula. Prabhupada's given us the formula. I don't know if you've got time, but there was a really nice story how Prabhupada met, some of you have probably read this, he met his old godbrother, Kapoor. Was his name Kapoor? In Radha Damodar Temple, when he'd just come from America with the first devotees. And he hadn't seen R.L. Kapoor for years, for 15, 20 years. And he'd been to America and he'd come back. And R.L. Kapoor was coming for darshan in Radha Damodar Temple. And he saw this old sadhu sitting in Prabhupada's rooms, what was now Prabhupada's rooms. And he didn't recognize his old friend, Abhay Charanaravinda Das. It was Prabhupada's initiated name that before. He didn't recognize him. But Prabhupada recognized him. And he said, "Oh, R.L. Kapoor, my godbrother." And he came, "Come and sit with me." Prabhupada began to tell him all, everything that happened. "I'd been to America, and this is what happened. I was struggling for years. And then we went to the young people, and then they started chanting. And they started, now they're even following 4 regular principles. They're coming to Sat Vagun. It's really a wonderful thing. And they distributed my books." And R.L. Kapoor was completely amazed. He said, You have love of God. You have something." He said, "You have something which I would really like to have, Abhay." And Prabhupada said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "You have love of God." And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, "I don't have love of God, but I have the formula." He said, "I have the formula." And he said, "Well, what is that? What's the formula?" Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi svihishnuna amanina mandadena kichiniya sadahari So the Madhyamadhikari, we have to become very humble and tolerant in order to spread this movement lower than the straw in the street. Then we'll be successful. So that's our training here in the Krishna consciousness. Okay, time's up now almost. Is there any questions, please? Got 5 minutes now.
No questions. Yeah, very well.
Eric. Preaching in Africa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really an outreach program. How to reach to the people who are ready to hear in the best way. And there's difficulties. Prabhupada said Harinam and Prasadam is very important in Africa. And in some countries like, well, I've just been in Uganda, we're not allowed to have Harinam at the moment. We're just going through the getting permission stage. We've had it, we've done it before, but they've made a new rule for this anti-terrorism stuff. But people love Harinam there in African countries. And they usually come round in the hundreds and they see shaved head and robes and they just come, they're just staring. And they don't want to join in. So it requires some, you know, explanation that the Krishna's name is a new name to them. But you already have many names, Katanda, Imana, Vijamakulu, so many names, Mungu, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh. They're mostly Christians. So, and they tend to think that we are something like witch doctors. So that's a problem with these clothes. But some people, they do recognize that these clothes they used to wear, that their grandfathers used to wear. So it does bring a remembrance. So sometimes we even chant names like, publicly we chant, Yahweh, 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 or we sing Allah, 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 just to get them to accept, oh, we're chanting the names of God. Otherwise they just don't know what is Krishna, what is Ram, they have no idea. No idea. So we chant a few, sometimes we chant a few names of other names of God and then come back to Hare Krishna to help them. This is what Congo's like. They're very fearful. That country has been devastated by so many wars and slave trade and people are very superstitious and fearful. If you try and give them prasadam, they won't take. Unless you eat first. You have to eat first. When they say you eat, then they will eat. Until they trust you. So that's... people are fearful there. But when, of course... And then a problem is also, you know, that they've been brainwashed into thinking the only place... Only the intelligent guy will get out of Africa as soon as he can. And go to Europe or Belgium or England or America. So educated people, they've already been exported. So anyway, we have some sincere devotees there. There's preaching. It's pioneering, actually. Still pioneering after many years. One problem was that the preaching was got stifled within the Indian community. There was a bit of a problem. Indian people, they tend to be quite communal and they live in their own Hindu world and they although they employ Africans as their drivers and as their pot washers and this and that, they don't actually want to give them Krishna consciousness. They leave them alone. So Krishna consciousness got a bit stifled within that framework. But just recently we had a really good Rath Yatra in Kampala. Mukesh Shukla, he's the chairman of the ISKCON in Kampala, Uganda. He's also on the trustees of what's called the Sanatan Dham. It's a Hindu temple, Hindu mandir. And they just built a huge hall, big hall. So he said, when we come in with our Rath Yatra cart, I'm insisting that the local people will come in. You must let them in. And he forced the issue. He became like a real Kshatriya. Because, you know, they're the proprietors. We must be preaching to them. And in previous years, when we've had problems with the Sanatan Dham Mandir, they wouldn't let the black people in. They had to take prasadam outside. They felt insulted. What is this? So this time, we had brought the Rath Yatra procession through to town, and we ended up at the big hall, and everybody piled in. And then we had a huge kirtan in this hall, the first kirtan in the hall. There's hundreds of local people dancing and singing, and there was just like a few Indians wondering what's going on. The Indians were outnumbered. Hindus were outnumbered. And Africans poured in, and the big kirtan, and then massive prasadam distribution. It was great. It was a breakthrough, actually. It's a breakthrough. It's been time we had a breakthrough like that. Yeah. So it's going on. It's Prabhupada's books are going out, especially in Congo. We have a lot of French books, and they're being distributed, and intellectuals, they really like them. They've never read anything like it. Bhagavatam, like, they're reading the first canto of Bhagavatam, and they're just amazed, you know, at the knowledge. We have Bhagavad Gita, and we have TV programs also in Congo, regularly, once a week. And we're becoming popular. There's a very good devotee there. He's a very advanced devotee. He's preaching like anything. So it's gradually happening. It's it's a stage behind, in a sense. It's very pioneering, but it's very exciting to be there for Prabhupada doing something, you know, breaking into a new country, and trying our best. And there's room for devotees, especially who speak French. If anybody speaks French, don't tell the authorities. But you can speak to me afterwards. I'm not coming to Congo. Okay. Thank you very much. Any more questions? Sorry for the, how do you say it? Stream of consciousness class. But anyway, what to do? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara.
Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara.
Bande Krishna Nanda Kumaran. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala. Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa. Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Krishna Hare. Jaya Rama Hare. Jaya Krishna Hare. Jaya Rama Hare. Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hare. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Jaya Radha Gopinatha Lalita Vishaka Giri Govardhan Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Gonitai. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Lalita Vishaka Giri Govardhan Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupan 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupan. Sri Harinam Sankirtan King, Mahamantra King, Gopemanande.